Thank you for tuning in to the after show of Book One, Velcan Arrow. How's everyone feeling after that 4-hour combat?
Dead.
I don't know. I'm feeling redeemed on so many levels.
Massive redemption.
For oh my god! After
months
of bad rolls. 220s when I needed them most.
I'd like to say that I wasn't worried, but there was a tense couple of minutes there where it didn't look so good.
Yeah, I thought we were done. I was like, nope. Evil wins.
Evil wins.
Evil wins. Oh man. Yeah. I tip my hat to Ian and Adam. It's got to be interesting when you're kind of getting the whole world ganging up on you. So
I'm used to that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I thought it was a good closure without also just being like handed to us, because sometimes you can worry about that, like especially like because we all have the story we want to tell. And I mean, like when you, especially in this situation where you have one of the player characters being the bad guy, now you really have just like, it's not us versus the DM, who the DM might make a bad character that is willing to be overcome. Now we're overcoming somebody who doesn't necessarily want to be overcome, being another player character. So I found that really interesting. Well, it can go either way. I don't know. I think it's satisfying enough, but also still left a lot of things unanswered that could be explored or not explored.
Yeah.
That's kind of the beauty of storytelling. So, yeah. Well, that was my reaction.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that, kind of that statement, I mean, what do you think Zornikov is doing now?
I mean, Zornikov was just kind of already on the mission, but kind of not even sure what his mission was. Zornikov was a failed barbarian Goliath, the weakest in his clan, which it's quite thematically wonderful that he was the one that just completely ripped the head off the dragon. After he found a new power, which was just having joy in what he is, which was something that was taught to him by his mentor teacher. So he's going to be, aimless, trying to find that teacher, because that's just kind of the comfort he knew. But at this point, I think that's a big confidence boost to him. He's just kind of wandering around, just sharing the joy of his goddess with anybody and who is willing to listen and not willing to listen, because that's what got him into this mess in the first place.
Do you think he stays with the people that want to keep traveling together, or do you think that he goes Lone Ranger again?
I don't imagine that a lot of the group wants to stay together anyways, so I think he just inevitably would end up Lone Rangering. He probably would take to Banjo, though, so.
Yeah, if he had done that, yeah. I could see that.
Or maybe just annoy Dutch all the time. But that corrupt fellow, if he didn't run away so fast, I might have been trying to kind of get that guy to take some anger management classes.
You can try and track him down, but he's not hiding where he's going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Johnny.
Johnny, I think Johnny's next step is going to be to go try and find Kree's old crew and tell them that he died a hero's death, even though I have no idea what happened at that time.
Yeah.
It's important for Johnny to tell the story of Kree the way that he thinks it ought to be told. After that, he's probably just going to be traveling around doing what bards do, collecting stories, you know.
Entertaining.
Yeah, entertaining, you know, keeping an ear to the ground, seeing what's going on. You know, if he finds word of any of his former companions, you know, he might check in on them, but he wouldn't necessarily, you know, want to be noticed by them.
Yeah. And, Justin, tell us a little bit about your thoughts about the overall campaign and then what you think that maybe Yuri and Zediak are doing now.
The campaign was very... To me, what I really like as a someone who's been playing Dungeons & Dragons for a while and who likes to DM, it's really important to me to see characters not just like level up and get new skills, but to see them learn lessons and experience things and develop as, but so as far as like having a journey that they go through is to me what makes this game and running campaigns so interesting, is because you can experience, put yourself in the shoes of somebody else that has different experiences than you and maybe thinks a little bit differently. And I mean, ultimately it makes you a little bit more empathetic towards people, but it's a very interesting skill to develop as far as playing.
Yeah.
But I was really happy to see that everybody's character through one way or another had that kind of journey. And as far as, I mean, Zediak was pretty clear what his plans were. He's going to go and try and find his, he's heard a rumor that is from Johnny that his brother was out there. So he's going to go try and find him. With or without anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yuri would be looking for his next pursuit.
And Isaiah, you didn't quite make it out on top, but you played a very, very huge role in what your players did. And tell us a little bit about what you felt about the campaign and just how things played out. And we want to know some of the behind the scenes of these notes that we never got to really know. Cal left a note, and then you said that Adam had a note.
Yeah. Apparently Cree had something to share that Cree doesn't know about either.
He mentioned it to Cree before he was killed, about the dirge of Redmire Bay.
Hmm.
He was going to...
Oh, you were going to share my story.
Yeah, he was going to share it with Johnny. Yeah. And he was just going to pass it on to Johnny.
The song.
Yeah.
We lugging around your dead body. Weekend at Bernie's.
The note that Cal left Johnny, or not the note, but the message that he left him, was for Johnny to find Cal in the elemental plane of fire. If he ever got around to planar travel, to look for him there. And then, kind of the, I'm not sure if I shared this in the past or, but, kind of back to Adam. his whole thing was, he was, humiliated at a younger gathering,
yeah,
of a bunch of nobles, whatever, and disgraced his family. So his father nixed him from being the next in line. And so he set out on a pursuit of power, wherever that power came from, and offered up his soul to the first entity that was willing to buy it. Happened to be Orcus, you know.
The worst, the worst.
Yeah.
What you gonna do?
And that was planned from the beginning?
No.
It was not.
It was open.
It was open. It was, yeah, like, he's like...
Because you can make a contract with somebody and not even know necessarily, yeah, who they are at first.
Yeah.
So
he was just visited by a... Yeah.
Just like, we didn't know we were gonna be cousins.
Unknown patron. Yeah, exactly. Unknown patron. He's like, fine, give me power so I can,
yeah,
seek out a way to reclaim,
mm-hmm,
my title. And I mean, he didn't necessarily want to betray the faithful Jaegers, and even in the final battle he never attacked any of the original members, if you guys took note of that. And he even tried talking first, but then he was assaulted first.
No regrets.
You killed Kree, you gotta die.
He did not kill Kree.
As far as I can tell, you killed Kree. I didn't see a lot of nuance in the situation, unfortunately. Yeah.
But I do find it was kind of like, between, because like, you and me having characters that didn't get the resolution that they wanted. I did find the tragedy, though, still, like, there was some closure in the tragedy of our characters' stories. But still openness, because I don't know about Adam, but I know that there is going to be a legacy of Kree. And, I mean, I'm sure there's a few kids running around brothels out there. And just the impact they have. What would you say, though? Because, like, I mean, because Adam, like you were just saying, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't have necessarily evil intentions. What do you imagine his legacy might be beyond that turning point where he kind of, the point of no return, as Kree told him that he would have? Do you think that there was a legacy before that?
I'm sorry, could say that one more time?
Yeah. No, because during our last conversation, before you killed me. sorry, before Sylvana killed me. I was kind of saying, like, yeah, you don't have to do this, but, like, once you do, there's no coming back, man. Like,
well, he already felt that he...
Was in too deep?
He was in too deep. A demon lord owned his soul, so, I mean...
Yeah.
He's kind of at the will of whatever that was, and it was saying, go through this, or he was going to die anyway from... Probably, or just be like enthralled and do something else, be tortured in one of the nine hells forever for disobeying his orders or whatever. So he didn't want to necessarily stir up the pot, but he felt that he had to. And if you guys did talk to him, he was going to say, if you leave now, you guys will all be... I'll do what I can to keep you guys from anything. But you guys decide to attack.
I think I see that, and that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes sense that, like, Johnny would not fight. There was a lot of tug and pull.
You know, kind of like between Kree and Estelle.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have to say that, you know, maybe Kree didn't go how you ideally thought you would want him to go.
Yeah.
But I think that Kree probably was high on the totem for impact of the story and the lore of the world. And will continue to be.
Yeah.
So...
And the beauty, though, is, like, with the story that Kree had, I mean, it's not like he had any endeavor to be, like, a folklore or a legend or a savior or anything like that. It's just like, I'm from bastard parents that I've never met. I've lived on the sea. I'm just here to enjoy the pleasures that I can with the limited time I can. And I think he accomplished that and more.
Yeah.
And it is interesting that somebody of nothing, at least by his knowledge, did become something exactly what he never intended to be, which was a folklore.
Legend.
I was going to say, give it like 15 years and you were going to be the most famous story in Atlantis work.
Yeah, right. Bro.
I'm going to say, like, I was like doing like, I don't know.
Hitting all the shots. Yeah. And
right. I was in charge of the whole sea.
Well,
every sea.
Mr. Derek Hare, the creator of angst and excitement in our party. Both playing Estella and then Uncle Dutch. Tell us how you felt about the campaign thoughts and then about where you think Dutch lies now.
So, I think it was all a piece of shit. I'm just kidding. No. I would say this campaign definitely taught me stuff about playing a game that things aren't going to go your way, but just because they don't go your way doesn't mean it's the end of the world. You just have to cooperate and make something new of it. And I would say that's a good thing, because I think everyone who's playing D&D needs to understand that no matter what, unless if you roll perfectly and your DM rolls shitty, or good, depending on what scenario, nothing's going to go exactly how you planned it. But that also helps you become a better storyteller yourself, maneuvering around those objects. Definitely didn't expect both my characters to die.
Me too.
yours didn't die.
Me three.
Well, yeah.
Not both of them.
Two of them died.
Two out of three died.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. I forgot about Kree.
Yeah. it's okay.
He had such an impact that he lives on.
I'm still thinking like Zornikov saved the day. So I'm like, no, he didn't die. But you're right. It's good to have that knowledge. But at the same time, it also lets you be able to explore different kinds of characters, from going to a moody, kind of like loner person who is trying to do out her goal, to a very PC, but like in your face, doesn't care how you feel at the same time, person who's like, hey, we gotta do what we gotta do to save lives. And I think after this, he would definitely cover his face for the rest of his life. Dutch bot being that. He would probably figure out what the heck his family's doing. If they're, I don't know what Sparrow would be doing, but he would offer to the time travelers over there. If they have no place to go, he does have a crew, and he is
the leader.
No, he is knowing that just because these three brothers say they're gonna hold their word and abolish slavery in their name, doesn't mean that slavery is gonna be a total
abolished.
Gone out of night. There are gonna be overnight. There are gonna be places that still will hold it. So he's gonna go, hey,
it's stuck around for a reason.
Yeah, like hey, let's go and get rid of that because that's not cool.
I imagine that Twilight would, if you had her, she would go with your crew, and I think that Sparrow would transcend.
Yeah, and it's like he would be like the more the merrier, but he would also like go like, just because we're a crew doesn't mean we're like a faithful Jaeger crew. It'd be like, hey, if we need to split up, we'll do it, but we have people with us. So he would definitely offer it to those three. Johnny, probably not. He would probably wait for him to leave, and then they offer it. Just personal preference. Zediak, he would probably offer, hey, I'll help you find your brother in repayment. Yeah. Whatever he wanted to go do that alone, that'd be up to him.
I think that Banjo would carry on the name of the faithful Jaegers.
He's not allowed to. It's copyrighted.
But he would just go out and just keep on trying to do good, and probably tell a cool badass story about Dutch Kowalski and how he died in battle heroically, saving many, many lives.
The world of Alanisork from eternal darkness.
So he'll probably have to take up a new alias, but we'll conquer that when that gets there.
Yeah. And speaking of the world of Atlantisork, now that our faithful DM is going to have a bit of a year's break, what are you looking forward to as you kind of build out the continuation of the story?
Yeah, so
if there's going to be one.
I have tossed up a couple ideas, like I said in the outro that you've now all listened to, that I was thinking about doing a totally different scene, world, completely. I haven't decided 100%, and I'll announce that on social media. It will still be 5e, so if I get brave, then I'm going to have to convert a bunch of stuff. So I'm going to have to weigh the pros and cons of doing some other scenarios. But I am looking forward to moving forward as a player full-time with March of the Fang, and we announced earlier in the year that we started recording. Episode 6 will be posted Christmas week, and there will be weekly posts of March of the Fang. So if you're listening to this now, you have something else to listen forward to, where this isn't it. We're doing other projects. Derek's working on a project that we'll announce soon that's very exciting, and same with Thomas and Chris. So we're not stopping by any means, and just because I'm not DMing for a year doesn't mean that I won't be involved. So,
yeah, the story continues, just always changing.
Yes, yes, and I was telling you guys, it was like off before we record this, is that I've always been inspired by like a Princess Bride and like that whole like storyteller where you could pull back and then it's reality. And D&D really is that in real life, is that we get to go into the book, but then when we come back out, it's reality. And I've always enjoyed using my imagination. And, you know, it kind of sucks because, like, you know, I understand as a player, some things don't always go as you want. And when I'm the homebrew D&D DM, I'm making some ultimate God decisions that maybe a player doesn't enjoy. And it's tough to have to stick to your guns on some things. But like Derek said, you know, it is kind of a maturity thing to roll with the punches. We're here, we're role playing, we're trying to be good actors and good players. And, you know, I've had many curveballs thrown at me in our other campaign, and it's like, how can I do this? How can I respond to this in my character the best I can, even if I don't like it? And I think that if you have that mindset, you're going to create great content. So.
Yeah. And just back to all you guys who've been with us for, what is this now, over a year?
Year and a half.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been a joy. It's been an opportunity. And we look forward to all the other content coming out. And your continued listening, continued sharing, and continued support, financial or non, is amazing and is helping get some really fun content out there. And again, it's nothing without you guys. So thank you so much.
On top of that, you want to support us at patreon.com/SOH Network to have stuff like this continue more often. Be very grateful. Again, you don't have to, but... we are very, 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 very appreciative of it. And the more we could do stuff like this, the more we could do it for you guys. And that's kind of what the goal is to become story writers and storytellers for you all. And your feedback, your fan art, your anything, like, even if it's just a, hey, you're on my Spotify rap of the year, that's like, it's really cool seeing that stuff. But again, that's patreon.com/SOH Network. Kiss, thank you.
And other ways you could support us is you can go say hi to Chris and Derek on our Twitter account, SleightOfHandPC on Twitter. Or you could say hi to me on Instagram and Facebook at the Sleight of Hand Podcast. We would love to hear comments and maybe ideas. Oh, you should do this in the future. We want to hear that stuff. We want to do what you guys like, because we're creating it for you. And I think that is it. A 4-hour combat really takes it out of us, and we bid you all adieu. Thank you for tuning in. We are knocking things over. Have a wonderful night. Bye.
Bye.
Penis.